The families of the three students who were killed in Chapel Hill last year have long said the murder was a hate crime. They say the suspected perpetrator, Craig Hicks, killed the three young people because he was biased against their religion, Islam. But while prosecutors have charged Hicks with three counts of first-degree murder, they have not pursued hate crime charges. Elon University law professor Mike Rich told WUNC's Jorge Valencia, hate crimes are difficult to prove.
Under federal law, to have a hate crime, you need to have an act of violence that was committed because of the victim's suspect class. So that could include religion or race or color or national origin. Doesn't mean it's the only reason that the crime was committed, but it has to have been a necessary reason. The crime wouldn't have been committed if the person had not been a member of that suspect class.
The father of the two women who were killed, Dr. Mohammed Abu Salha, says his daughter Yusur told him about verbal attacks from their neighbor.
She talked to us on two occasions about how much she felt he hated them, and she told us that he already also told her that he hated who she was and how she looked and dressed. And she texted her husband, late husband, about this, and the FBI has these text messages.
Okay, so if you were a prosecutor with the U.S. Department of Justice, what would you be considering in your decision to pursue or to not pursue hate crime charges?
I think really there's two main decisions that need to be made. One is whether or not you can actually win at trial. As a general matter, prosecutors don't want to pursue cases if they don't think that they can get the result they want at trial. And then the second thing that they would consider is just whether, as a political matter, it makes sense if there's a benefit to pursuing these charges in light of the state charges as well as kind of the general political atmosphere around the crime.
What do you think are the challenges that the prosecution has in being able to prove that this is a hate crime?
I think the difficulty here is that there isn't a lot of direct evidence of animus, of hatred against the defendants based on their religion. So to the extent that they could prove the case, it would have to be circumstantial. And I think there are certainly circumstantial facts that support a finding of a hate crime. I
mean, when you say circumstantial facts, are things such as what Dr. Abu Salha was just saying about what his daughter had told them?
Well, I mean, actually, I think what the doctor was saying was probably the best direct evidence that I've heard of some sort of religious hatred. On the other hand, there's no statements that we're aware of directly from the defendant that this is why he committed the crime. There are indications that we know of that he had a kind of a general dislike, a hatred of religion, but not necessarily the Muslim religion specifically.
And how big of a challenge is that?
I think it's incredibly challenging because one of the biggest challenges for any prosecutor is to help jurors get into the head of the defendant. And that's very hard to do. And so you're forced to kind of look at the circumstances surrounding the crime. And here, perhaps the strongest circumstantial fact that we have is that he chose these victims, of all of the victims within the apartment complex that he might have had concerns with parking about. He chose these three victims who stood out as being different, and they stood out being different because of their religion.
Now, I asked the father of two of the victims, Dr. Abu Salha, what this means for him. Here's what he said.
It's more important to call this what it is to us than what kind of punishment the murderer gets. Because if you acknowledge it as a hate crime, as an authority, that means we can move forward, we can have some closure, some comfort, and we can also start an education process.
So clearly, hate crime charges are very important to the families. What significance do they have for society in general?
I think calling this a hate crime would be important in the sense of sending a message. It would indicate to everyone that the federal government recognizes that there are hate crimes being committed against the Muslim community, and that this is one of those crimes. Calling things what they are can be important not for the punishment as much as for the recognition that this is a serious problem that the federal government recognizes and wants to address.
You know, I mean, I think that a lot of people believe that this is a hate crime. You know, they're really wondering, why is it so difficult for the U.S. Department of Justice to legally file it charges?
No, I mean, I think that's a fair question. I don't think it's that it's hard for them to file the charges. I think It's important to recognize that for them to pursue those charges, I mean, there is a cost. I mean, there's a cost in terms of going through the process of the trial and trying to prove it. And it's very possible that the Department of Justice is waiting to see what happens with the state charges. Because if you have a defendant who is sentenced to life in prison without parole or to death, it may not seem like it's worth that cost to go ahead and push forward with these charges, which would serve a political purpose but wouldn't change the outcome for the defendant.
Mike Rich is a professor at Elon University School of Law. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.